All right, let's turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to be reading in verse number 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wonderful, wonderful passages of Scripture. And let's pray together before we get into this morning. Father, we are so thankful for Your Word. We thank You for this time that we have together to spend in Your Word. And Lord, we pray that You'll bless this time together. Lord, open our ears that we may hear. Lord, prepare our hearts that we may receive what You have from us in Your Word today. I would just pray that Your will be done, and we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake and not our own. Amen. Now, we're studying through the book of Philippians, of course, and these verses, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, are just a culmination of this portion of the chapter so far. And these are very wonderful verses. Now, let me draw back to your memory what we're dealing with here. We began first, verse 1 through 4, kind of addressing self a little bit. Verse number 5 is sort of your inspiration verse there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then from there, verse 6 down to where we ended today, we're sort of getting a glimpse of what was this mind that was in Christ Jesus. Who is Jesus? What is it about Jesus that we need to be aware of or we need to become? And that's sort of where it leads us to today. And we get this culmination here today. And our understanding of these verses is very simple and easy. Since Jesus' redemptive work on the cross, which we see in verse number 8, Jesus has been exalted by God. That's from our text today. Every being in creation will now bow before Him and will call Him Lord. That's our understanding here today. And then the conclusion to that is that all of this is done for the glory of God. God ordained all of these events to happen to bring glory unto Himself. That's began in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, and it'll end that way at the end of our time as we know it, as we begin to enter into eternity. Now, what I'd like to do here this morning, I don't really have anything, I don't have any instruction for you. I don't have any action that I hope for you to get. I just want to share some thoughts with you from these verses here today to kind of let these things soak in just a little bit. I think they're wonderful verses of Scripture that we really need to soak in. Do you guys ever let stuff soak in, you know, put some meat and some juice and let it soak in before you cook it? I wash dishes that way. I take my dirty dishes at night when I eat, when everybody else is in bed, and I'll put them in the sink, and I'll skirt some water down in there and some dish detergent, and I'll get up the next morning, and my wife said, "Why didn't you just wash that on off and put it in the dishwasher?" And I'll say, "Well, it needed to soak." She said, "Yeah, it needed to soak till I got up this morning to prepare breakfast and wash it for you." And I'll say, "Well, I can't help it if it needed to soak, honey. I mean, you know, I had nachos at 1:30 a.m., and there's salsa stuck to the side of that bowl, and you don't want that mess in your dishwasher, honey." But I let things soak in. So let me give you some thoughts here this morning. Some of these sayings that we have here from verse 9, verse 10, verse number 11, that we do need to just kind of let soak in. We need to kind of let it sit in our thoughts and in our minds and become ever aware of here. First, we begin in verse number 9 with this thought of a name above all. A name above all. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. God has exalted Jesus and given him a name above all. Well, that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? I want to read you this just a little story. It's kind of an illustration. I want to read it to you to kind of get you started on this thinking here today. Suppose that a king was about to bestow an honor on a subject who had never previously distinguished himself. The only names he had ever received from anyone were scoundrel, bum, crook, good for nothing, and a dozen other names like this. Some of you have been called these things as well, haven't you? But then he did something that deserved this king's reputation. The king does not say to him, "Arise, Sir John," or whatever his name may be, or "I wish to present you with the order of merit." No, the king says, "Well, you have certainly distinguished yourself. You are a faithful subject." The name faithful is above all the other names that had been previously given to this man, but it was really only one step above nothing. Suppose, however, that there was also a knight of the realm who had already distinguished himself greatly and had been decorated on many occasions. Suppose he had risen to a very high position in the kingdom. To honor this man, the king would need the highest title at his disposal. And it would be especially glorious when measured against the knight's other names and honors. That's what God does here for Jesus. Jesus was abased. Now he is honored. Jesus is Lord. The glory of this title must be measured against his other names. You see, God didn't give him a name above all of our names. God didn't give him a name above the highest titles that earth could give him. Do you remember Jesus' temptation in the wilderness? And Satan comes to him, and what does he tempt him with? He tempts him with an earthly name, with an earthly position of power. And Jesus said, "You're crazy." He knew what was coming. He knew what was there for him. What Satan tempted him was nothing. And for you and I to think God has given him a name above all names, it's easy in our thinking to say, well, God, Jesus now has a name above Chance Strickland. I mean, that's easy to think of. Of course he does. He already had a name above Chance Strickland. But no, God didn't give him a name above all of our names, above any earthly title. God gave him a name above all his names. Think of all the names of Jesus. Think of all the titles that we refer to Jesus as. We know these names. Jesus Christ is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Messiah. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the Ancient of Days. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God with us. He is God, our Savior. He's the only wise God, our Savior. He's the Lord who is, who was, and who is to come. He is the Almighty. He is the door of the sheep. He is the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. I like that thought. The bishop of my soul. My soul needs a bishop, and I'm glad it's Jesus. Jesus is a lamb without spot or blemish. He is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is the Logos. He is the light of the world. He is the light of life. He is the tree of life. He is the word of life. He is the bread that came down from heaven. He is the resurrection. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the rock. He is the bridegroom. He is the wisdom of God. He is our Redeemer. He is the Beloved. He is the head over all things, which is the church. He is the one who is altogether lovely. The one in whom the Father is well pleased. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. He is our prophet, our priest, and our king. But as Paul writes here to the church in Philippi, he is inspired to say this: God has given him a name above all these names. What is that name? Verse 11 tells us very plainly what it is. As good as all of those other titles are, he's given him the name Lord. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If Jesus is not Lord to you, he is none of the rest of this to you. He's not Emmanuel. He is not the beginning and the end. He is not your comforter. He is not your help. He is none of this. He is not first your Lord. God has exalted him. He has given him a name above all names. And that name is Lord, Jesus Christ, the Lord. So the first phrase that I want you to let soak in this morning is a name above all. Secondly, in verse number 10, we see that every knee should bow. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee should bow. Someone has well said, we will either bow to Jesus as Lord in this life for salvation or in eternity for condemnation. But either way, every knee will bow. I assume, as we're all believers here today, gathered to worship Jesus together, that your knee has bowed and your tongue has confessed and you are saved and you're a believer and you're in Christ and He is your Lord. And you've bowed in this life for salvation, but the day is coming where we will all bow. Every knee will bow. Every person who lives today, every person who's ever lived, every person who will live in the future, every knee will bow. We will all just be a face in the crowd, and Jesus Christ Himself will be our focus. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Well, that's a thought. I mean, it's a thought to think that God has given Him a name above all these other names, as if it could get any better. I mean, He has all of this, and on top of that, He is Lord. The earth is His footstool. He is God in the flesh, ascended back to His Father. On the earthly end of things, the best that we can understand about Jesus was that He was a great man who lived on the earth, who died for our sins, who resurrected, and ascended back up to His Father. But on the heavenly end of things, we're given some insight here from the Bible today to know that not only did He ascend back to His Father, but that He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and God has given Him this title, this position, this place, this name above all names, and that the day is coming where every knee, even those who would deny God, would bow before Him and declare Him Lord. Human arrogance is all that keeps us from salvation. God has made the forgiveness of sin very simple, very easy, very universal. But people turn it away. People live their life and die without it because of their arrogance, because of their pride. Humble yourself now. Give yourself over now or be forced to later. We don't like that kind of thinking, though, do we? Be forced to later. See, that day is pleasing as it is for the believer to think, yes, that day is coming. Jesus, who's been given this name above all names, will bow before Him someday and say, He is Lord. But for some, it's not an exciting day. For some, they will be forced to bow their knee and to confess within themselves, to give up their earthly fight of, I'm right and the church is wrong. To give up their earthly pride of, I don't need God or religion because I've got money or power or prestige. And they will bow themselves and they will humble themselves before God. And they will be forced to get on their knees and say, You are Lord and I am not. We don't like that. We're Americans. We have freedom and liberty, right? That's we were raised on that. You can't tell me what to do because I can do whatever I want to do. I'm free to say whatever I want, to go wherever I want, to be whoever I want, act however I want. And that's the world I live in and I'm free. I'm glad I live there because I'm free to worship here this morning. But the day is coming where Jesus, who's been given a name above all, will be exalted above all, and all will bow on their knee before Him and declare Him as Lord. Every knee will bow. Boyce gives us a fond reminder here as he writes, the day is coming when human arrogance will be ended. Every knee will bow to Jesus as Lord. All of heaven will bow, all on earth will bow, all under the earth will bow. Notice that in the text. Every knee should bow, verse 10, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Things in heaven, we understand things in heaven. Things in the earth, we understand things in the earth. I begin to ponder, what does he mean, things under the earth here? Death, hell, demons. Lucifer himself will bow on his knees and declare Jesus as Lord. That day is coming. He will submit to the authority of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Earthly fame on this day will become a simple face in the crowd. Presidents and kings, rich and famous, will all bow before Jesus Christ, our Lord. No amount of earthly power will matter on this day. You know, it's really something to think about. Those who will bow their knees before Jesus. Those who have spent so much of their time on this earth trying to prove Him wrong, trying to prove that He is not who He says He is, trying to kill Him, trying to stomp out His church in this day and age, will all bow their knees. Osama bin Laden will bow his knee and with his tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord. He is the predominant hater of Christianity in our day and age, but he will bow his knee and say, the Christians are right. Saddam Hussein will bow his knee and with his tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Adolf Hitler, the killer of the Jews, will bow his knee and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Steve Jobs, the wealthiest men who've ever lived, will bow their knees and they will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Gandhi, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Charles Russell, and even Anton LaVey will bow their wicked knees and with their deceptive tongues, they will finally confess the truth when they say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hugh Hefner, Larry Flint, and all the other perverts on the earth will bow their sin-diseased knees, and they will finally on this day with their unholy tongues profess something holy when they say, Jesus Christ is Lord. The atheist, the agnostic, the apostate, and the heretic will all finally get it right on this day as they bow unworthy knees before Christ and confess, Jesus is Lord. Human arrogance will end on that day. So first, we see that He's been given a name above all names. Secondly, we begin to ponder and let soak in the fact that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And then the final thing we see here at the end of verse number 11 is that this is to the glory of God the Father. All of this to bring glory to Almighty God. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God Himself gives Jesus this name above all. God ordained that every knee would bow and tongue confess that He is Lord. This is the series of events simply to just bring glory to God. All of creation, all of existence, all that ever has been, is, or will be, is to bring glory to God. You and I were created to bring glory to God. Jesus was sent. Jesus died. Jesus resurrected. Jesus ascended. Jesus will stand before us and we will bow on our knees and declare Him Lord to bring glory to God. Jesus Himself is aware of this fact and is happy of this fact and is satisfied in His role as God the Son to live and die and live again to bring glory to Almighty God. As Lord, Jesus is identified with God. He brings glory to God through this. Jesus is God in the flesh. But it's not just enough to become aware of Jesus as God. James 2:19, James writes, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." You see, this fallacy has infiltrated the church. Just believe. Just believe for salvation. Just believe and everything will be all right. Do you not think the devil and his demons believe in Jesus? Believe in God? They know Him better than we do. And James writes to us here, the holy inspired Word of God reads plainly, "You believe that there's one God and you do well, but the devils also believe and they tremble." See, Jesus, it's not enough just to believe that Jesus is God. Jesus must become your God. He must become your Lord. He must become your personal Savior. You must depend upon Him for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, as Lord, identified with God, and this brings glory to God. We have things so, I would say simplistic, maybe that's a good word for it, in Christianity today. So easy. That's the best way to say it. We like to just blend in. You like to blend in? I go out in public. I don't look at me. Don't draw attention to me. I don't want you to realize I'm there. I don't do anything wrong. I just want to be off to myself and I want to blend in. Now if I see you, I want to talk to you, but I'm talking about all of them, everybody else out there. I like all you, I don't like all of them. But we've allowed that to kind of infiltrate our religion here. We want our religion to be like that. I want to make sure I'm going to heaven when I die, my sins be forgiven, and I want a God that I can call to when I'm in trouble. But other than that, I don't want to be a weirdo. I don't want to be awkward in the world. Some of you are you work with or you're around Muslims. And I'll tell you, false religions in this world could teach Christians a whole lot. That's sad to think about. They don't care if they get fired from their job. They don't care if you make fun of them. They don't care if you look funny at them or wonder what they're doing. Certain times of the day, they're going to get out their mat and they're going to pray to their false god and worship him. And I mean, and we're not about to do that. We'll bow over our lunch and kind of do the old, you know, it's time to eat, so I know it's time to pray, but I don't want to get embarrassed about my praying, so I'm going to... Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. You know that's the truth. And we come to worship service on Sunday mornings. But heaven help if we move, you know. Y'all heard about that church where somebody finally moved one Sunday morning? Did y'all hear about this? They were worshiping together, singing, you know, and everybody was smiling. And this one guy, he got real bold one Sunday morning. And he just felt real spontaneous about his faith that day. And he says, and boy, everything stopped. The music stopped. The lights flickered. And somebody said, he moved. I saw him move. He moved. I'm just kidding. They're looking at me real weird there. I was joking. that they worship on purpose. Their God is actually a God and not a buddy. Jesus is not your homeboy. He is your God. He is your Lord. He is to be feared. He is to be worshipped in fear. He is to be dealt with in fear. He is to be talked to with awe. Jesus doesn't have your back. Jesus is on your side. He is your defense. We've brought Jesus down to an earthly level. God has exalted Him and given Him a name above all names. Christianity has failed to hold that same standard. God should be dealt with in reverence. Jesus should be dealt with in reverence. Jesus is God. Jesus is identified with God. And through this identification, He brings glory to God. We see the world religions and how adamantly they worship their God. And we think just because we tote a Bible and put on our Sunday clothes and attend church that we've done enough. But our God desires to be worshipped. Our God desires to be treated like a God. You see, He's not just a God. He is God. He is the God. Throughout history, He has proven Himself greater than all the other gods. People have created their own little pocket gods, or their God they set up in their home, or their God that they wrote their own little book about and got a little following to follow them around to worship this God that they've come up with. And He's not Almighty God, and it's a false God, and it's a God that's deceiving them and leading them astray. But they do a better job worshiping than we do the Almighty God who is God. And that's a natural happening, by the way, because we are so sure that He's God, because it is very obvious. We feel like, well, I mean, you know, what more can we add to it? And we can't. But that still doesn't get us off from treating Him like God. Now, I'm not telling you the Bible says you've got to get a mat out at work and pray to God 3-4 times a day. But we ought to worship Him. We ought to recognize Him. He ought to be a God to us. Not just another person that we know, that we depend upon when the tire's flat. We're going to cry out to Him to help us get that thing pumped up. You see, we've come to this conclusion of, I just believe in God, thus I don't have to die and go to hell, and I get to go to heaven and my sins be forgiven, and that's the end all to all of life. But it's not. James wrote and said, the devils believe. They're not going to heaven. They're eternally damned to not to go to heaven. So are you and I in our position, by the way. Without Jesus, who is God, exalted and standing instead for us, we are eternally damned. Treat Him like that God. Secondly, we see His Lord, Jesus is sovereign. He rules as God rules. He loves us and orders the events of our lives to lead us into His perfect will. That's a comforting thought. Now, some don't like that thought. Some think, well, I don't know about that. I don't know that I like to think that He orchestrates the events of my life. I feel like I'm in control, and I want to be in control, and I don't want to just be God's robot. I kind of like the thought of being God's robot. I kind of like the idea that He orders the events of my life. Is He not in control? Is He not Almighty God? Is He not Creator God? Is He not powerful God? Is this earth not His footstool? Does He not hold us in the palm of His hand? Does He not know all things? Is He not all powerful? Is He not all present? Surely He is. He is sovereign, and just as He is sovereign, Jesus is sovereign. That's the position that God has exalted Him to in giving Him this name above all names. I heard a wonderful illustration of this. A man went to see the orchestra. You ever been down to see the Nashville Symphony Orchestra or we used to go see the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra? Have you at least seen the local high school marching band? So you get the guy in his tux, his black, you know. They usually have tails, and you have the whole orchestra out in front of him, and you were all behind watching. The guy said he had a good seat that night because he knew someone in the orchestra, and he got to kind of sit off to the side, and all the audience was here, and he sat off to the side, and he got to kind of watch from a side view. And said as the thing were to begin, you've been to these things, you know that they get that bass hum when things are starting to go, the lights dim, they do that hum. You know, you don't meditate or anything, but that's kind of how you know things begin. You sit down, you get quiet, and out comes the conductor. And he has, you know, those loud shoes in there on the floor. And he You know, you've seen this. He said the conductor walked out there and he grabbed his stick and he tapped his stand and pulled a pack of M&Ms out of his pocket. And of course, the crowd's behind him, so they couldn't see what he was doing. They just assumed he was getting ready, but he said looking from the side, he could see. And the stand was in front of him, so the band couldn't see, or the orchestra. And he said he pulled them out and pulled the top off, and he spilled them out there on his orchestra stand there, the conductor's stand. And he tapped his stick, and, you know, dun-dun, and then dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and he started the piece. And he said as he was orchestrating the events of this performance, every so often he would reach down and he would get one M&M, put it in his mouth, and just keep on going. And he said at first, you know, what a lazy conductor. What a non-disciplined conductor that he couldn't go 3 hours without having some M&Ms. But he said the more he began to watch this and observe and heard to what some is the chaos of the orchestra playing and to others is music, just all of this going on, these instruments playing this and those instruments playing that and these guys back here beating this way and the guys over here beating that way and everything all going on its own little thing, all of these operating in their own little life, their own little free will, and all together coming together at the orchestration of this conductor. In the midst of all of that, here he stood picking up an M&M, putting it in his mouth. He wasn't worried. He wasn't concerned that they weren't going to get the note right. He wasn't concerned that the piece was going to mess up. He had them prepared. He knew what was going on. He was the conductor. He was in charge. And he just kept his stick going and sucked on his M&M and everything was all right. That's why I have no problem with Jesus being sovereign in my life. He's the conductor. I'm just happy to be in the band. Actually, I'm the guy that sweeps up after the band is gone. But that's all right. The conductor's not worried. The conductor's not upset. Things are going to be all right. He's got his little pack of M&Ms there. And as he orchestrates the things of this world, mass murder happens over here and tornadoes happen over there. And he just gets an M&M, puts it in his mouth and says, "Don't worry, children. In this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome this world." As Lord, Jesus is sovereign. And in this, he brings glory to God. He loves us and orders the events of our lives to lead us into His perfect will. No matter what comes in life, God knows and is accomplishing His will through it. That's hard. I know that's hard. That when the doctor says cancer, when the undertaker says death, whatever comes in life, that is hard for us to say, "Well, praise God anyhow." But that is what we are to say. We want to question God, but we ought never to question God. It's such a hard truth for us because we feel like we're in charge. We feel like we're in control. We feel like we know. We feel like we've got to figure out so that we can know, so that we can be in charge. And God's just saying, "Don't worry. I'm in control. I see tomorrow. You only see today. Trust me." He's sovereign. No matter what comes in life, God, through that, is accomplishing His will. And then finally, we see that as Lord, Jesus is coming again. Not only is He like God, and in this He is sovereign, but to completely be Lord of all, He will return. He will return and conquer evil. Then He will establish His righteous will forever. You see, even though God is in control, God has given Satan some run of the place for a little while. When my wife leaves the house, she is in control while she is at the house. But when she leaves the house, Dad gives the boys the run of the place for a little while. Now, in the illustration I just made, my boys out to be devils. Don't tell my wife, please. And little boys with the run of the house, you get the picture, right? I would do better to invite animals into my house and they would not do so much damage. But my wife is a good wife, and she understands the situation. And we have these phones that text message, and before she arrives, she'll say, "Headed home." And I sit the boys down. Of course, Thomas, he's just picking his nose. He doesn't understand. But the other two, I'll say, "All right, boys, Mom's headed home. Take the fort down, fold the blankets, put the cushions back on the pillow, you know, get the cookies out of the carpet, and all the things we've done, and tell Mom that Dad ate all the cookies. I didn't let y'all have any, okay?" And we put the house back in order before she arrives. Sure, Satan has the run of the place for a little while. And people do wicked things. But Jesus will return. Jesus will conquer evil and He will establish His righteous will. And on that day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. The believer, the non-believer alike, the holy, the unholy alike, the rich, the poor alike, the leader and the nobody alike, all will be faces in the crowd because God has given him a name which is above every name, and that title is Jesus Christ the Lord. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord on that day. Now that's just where it starts to get good for you and I. It's good now, and it's a good thought now, to think that we serve a risen Savior and that He is Lord. But man, after He conquers the earth, I mean, you know how it works at the Super Bowl. Even non-football fans know how it works at the Super Bowl. You got one team on this side, one team on that side, and everybody's for their team, and you know it's you don't know any of the players, you don't know the coach's name, you don't even know what colors to wear to the game, but you get to the game and we're gonna win today. You know, they're your team, and we're all in this together. It's about how we got saved, by the way. We didn't know what was going on, but Jesus saved us. And you get down there, and your team wins, the other team loses, and even though they're sad and they lost the game, they hang their heads and they have to admit defeat and say, well, they beat us. Good job, it's a good team. And then, but all of you who won, you're saying, man, we did good. Our players are the best. And man, look at our coach. He led us to victory, and we won the Super Bowl, and we're awesome. We're great. And then some guy gets on TV, and some pretty lady puts a microphone in his face, and he's just won the Super Bowl, and everything is great. I'm going along the lines of here. Jesus has conquered evil and established His righteous will forever, and it just gets better from here. And they put this microphone in front of this guy's face, and what does he always say? Does anybody know what they say? I'm going to Disney World, right? I mean, why a grown man wants to go to Disney World, I don't know, but he does, and he is, and he's a millionaire, and he can. It just gets better from there for us. Oh, the devil has a little run now, and he's going to make your life. He knows you're not going to hell, so he's going to make your life hell on earth, if he can. The flesh is going to fight you. God's going to have storms come into your life so He can train you. But it's just for a little while. God has given him a name above every name, and the day is coming where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and in that arena and on that day, some will hang their heads in defeat, admitting, my arrogance led me to condemnation, and this is my last time that I won't be in eternal torment. And I'm confessing right now, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. Like the Roman soldier who had just finished nailing Jesus to the cross, when all heaven broke loose on earth that day, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. On this day, when he is exalted that final time and he conquers evil and he establishes his will upon the earth, every knee will bow, some in condemnation, some in jubilation as we say, yes, He is Lord and He has conquered death, hell, and the grave and evil upon the earth. And then comes the new heaven and the new earth. And that is just the beginning. And here we'll all be and we'll say, man, look at our Lord. Look at what He's done. He's great. He led us here. He brought us to this place. I'm going to Disney World. The hope of His future return and reign brings glory to God. All that He is, all that He will be, brings glory to God. A name above all names. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess, all to the glory of God. So as we see Christ, whose mind we wish to be in us, who though in the form of God, humbled Himself and became obedient unto this death upon the cross, we now see the end of these things. He is exalted by the Father as Jesus Christ, the Lord. I like that connotation there, the Lord. He's not a Lord. He's not our Lord, which He is our Lord. But He's the Lord. Everybody knows who that is. You can walk out of here today and find anyone and say, boy, the Lord's good. And they know you mean Jesus. He's the Lord. In his thoughts of these passages, the scholar Gordon Fee interestingly writes this. He says, believers in Christ are both already and not yet. It tickles me to read that. We are already and we're not yet. He elaborates and says, already they know and own Him as Lord of all. Not yet have they seen all things made subject to him. That's great. We are already, but we're not yet. I'm already saved, but I'm not yet glorified. Well, that's wonderful. I'm already submitting to him as Lord, but not yet has the Lord that I'm trusting in shown himself. You see, I'm already submitting to the Georgia Bulldogs as national champions for this coming college football season, but not yet have I seen that happen. Not in my lifetime. And all the UT fans say boo. We are already, but not yet. All that God is comes to us through Jesus. And all who come to God do so through Jesus. Do you see the channel that Jesus is, the door that he is? God has given him a name above all names. And all that God is to us on earth came to us through Jesus and continues to. And all that we would ever hope to come to God, do so through Jesus. There is no other way. There is no other name. There is no other to bow your knee to and your tongue to confess to other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Have you bowed your knee? Have you with your tongue confessed that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Bow your knee to him today and confess that he is Lord of your life. Ms. Wiggins, if you would come and play a song, we'll stand and have a time of prayer. In this time of prayer, I'm assuming that we're all believers, that we're all Christians, that he is Lord of our life. Take this time today and just have a little pre-celebration. The day's coming. We're all ready, but we're not yet. But there in your place, bow your knee before him again and say, thank you, Lord, for being my Lord. Thank you for being Lord. Thank you that I have a Lord, that you are a good God, and that you have a name above all, and that the day is coming. I have that hope that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But if you're here today and Jesus is not Lord in your life, it's very simple. You believe. Most do. But make him Lord today. Bow your knee before him. Believe on him in your heart. Confess him with your mouth. And let him rule and reign in your life.